Accession number 9489, reel 6.
Tom Phillips, tape 6. So do you think you could sum up for me, yes, Tom?
The personal stunt should never have taken place, but we had to do it. The French were going to pack up. They forced us into it. If we didn't take it, they had enough of it.
Did you know that at the time? Did you know that at the time?
Yes, the note came up the line before we went up. Sorry, we had to take such a terrible offensive in the middle of winter and everything, but the French were going to pack up. That was the end of it. And so, well, it was the biggest one. It was more of a blunder, really, than the Somme, you see. Anybody there? We're in the open, no trenches to protect us. We were like targets. I've never known anything like it. No protection at all except capturing pillboxes and from shell hole to shell hole.
You
up with a jug and jell truck.
You were in the Somme as well, Tom.
Yes.
Was it very much worse than the Somme battle?
Oh, yes. The rich soil, spring water coming out of it everywhere. It was very, very rich. I wish we had that rich soil in Wales. Boy, did you go. Marvellous. Going up a high ridge like that, not a stone in the ground. And we thought we got down all right.
What did the countryside look? What did the countryside look like at the end of that battle?
We couldn't look out. On the right of us was Sonnybeek, a little village. And everything gone. The only guide we had to see where Sonnybeek was, the gas works, the big steel hanging up in the air. That's the only guide we had there. No trenches, no guide at all, except for troops moving together. It was, oh, dude. But
you see, it's like
I was as happy as a thrush. I was singing all the way through.
What were you singing?
Overlooking it all. Come on, boys. I was to cheer the lads up.
What were you singing? What songs were you singing?
Oh, sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Hark, hark, my soul. Hark, my soul. Angelic songs are swelling. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Without the lads hearing me, they couldn't understand how I wasn't blown to bits all the time. And the fellows, when things were easy, clinging to me. I never never known anything like it. So
you said earlier on how you never saw a general at the front.
No, except that fellow with Lloyd George and Duke of Windsor. I don't know who he was.
Yes, but do you think the generals should have come to the front?
Oh, no, they should come and see. They didn't know where we were. They were not damn good at all. They're not like Hindenburg, that German Prussian guard, Prussian general. He used to look after his men, try and save life. And they were much more protected than us. They used to see that they're properly dug in and sheltered. They didn't care a hang. Throwing lives was nothing to them. Massacre. So I tell you about going home now. To home. I never could write at all. They didn't know I was coming. My brother had been killed in October in that strip against the Turks. The news had come through. So I too. Woo, we had a terrible crossing the sea. Everybody's sick. Oh, what a mess. Like a cattle ship. And I was laughing a bit, but I had it all right. The sickness, I got it about a mile before landing in England. Oh, I'm sorry, I'd been laughing about it too. I had a packet and I had nothing to bring up. We had empty stomachs. Nothing after being out there. And I had my luggage bag to carry. The rifle and the revolver left behind. Then to Carmarthen, by train somewhere. I got to Carmarthen by train. Nobody to meet me, nobody. I had to walk out in the country 5 miles. The manager was in very fine fettle, you know. I could walk and walk and walk because I'd been with tramps all of my life since I was 5 years of age. I was a great pal of the tramps. Down and out. So, got home. They made a big fuss on me, but they were very sad, old Jim being killed. And they put a memorial in the church for him. He's the only one on it. I don't know what it said on it now, but it's there now. So I had a great time. They gave me concerts and everything. They got rid of my chats. Lousy nurse cleaned me up, and a great time there. Went to concerts and everything. Only 7 days I had to go back.
Do you think they understood at home, Tom? Yes? Do you think the people at home really understood what it was like at the front?
No. They were out, you know, in Britain, they were out profiteering. Not like the Second War. They had a taste of what war was in the Second War on their doorsteps. There was not so much profiteering in the Second War, 1939, because they had, we lost more civilians in the Second War than the British lost in the front. The Russians in the Second War, they lost 22 million dead and wounded.
Going back to the profiteering, did you know yourself of anyone who was profiteering?
Yes. Lord Mulshett, they're all in it. Everything, selfishness.
What were they profiteering by?
Everything. They could get all war material, anything. And ordering, the war office, everything. And I couldn't tell you all because I was out in it. And afterwards, we had concerts and everything, and I had cleaned up, lovely, at home, on the farm, clean shirt, everything, and I had to walk to Carmarthen, or they took maybe a trap or something, to catch the train, to go back to Blight, France.
How did you feel about going back? Did you want to go?
I wanted to be back with the lads to finish the war. That's all we had in mind. Let's finish the job, boys. Let's finish it. Let's go all out. We were so united as comrades. It reminded one, I used to sing to them, the home of the range, where the antelope and the deer and the antelope graze, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And that's how we used to carry on. No discouragement. We're all united. As long as you're united, you can go through anything.
Yes, do you think it was important? Do you think comradeship was important in the war?
You were united. No nonsense. I was 3 years there. We didn't know what this old business of homosexual, they call it. We didn't know that such a thing was in the country then. A terrible thing that. If we had one of those, you wouldn't come back alive from the front, I can tell you. No nonsense like that. Comradeship. And we are all helping one another to the man.
What would have happened to a homosexual? What would you have done to a homosexual?
If we came across one of those in the front, you'd never come back. We'd finish him off. The buggers. What a terrible thing that's come over this country.
Could I ask you about the mutiny of 1917?
Now then, wait a minute.
Did you hear anything about the mutiny?
Yes, wait a minute. So, we came back to the front, to Ypres. I didn't go up. We didn't go up. We finished. We had to go. Do you know who came out? The blinking Americans. and we had to train them in trench warfare. They were all Carolina and Tennessee regulars, all 6 foot and over. White men, not blacks. And, oh, damn, I said, we've got a packet here, I said, round the ramparts of Ypres and as far nearly as Camel Ridge. And we tried to train those devils. They couldn't make themselves at home. They couldn't take it. I wait to try and make itself get used to it, boys. Get used to it. You know, damn good. But what finished them off? There's some other pals blown to hell into pieces. They were carrying their pieces in sandbags and burying them. That did it. Oh, dude, you. We had them a week. I don't think we had a fortnight. Let's get rid of these devils. They don't know what. They can't settle in and transfer. Let's get rid of them, boys. And we managed to get rid of them. And they were pushed down to join the French down Verdun. I think they got on all right in open warfare during the last part of the war. So we got rid of those. So afterwards, we were in the trenches. Wow, damn. March came along, about the middle of March, something. Wow, jingo. The whole division, the machine gunners. We are pulled out, rushed out in lorries with our machine guns on, and right into the thick of it, Armentieres. The blinking, our, the broken English division, I think, became demoralized. They faced the German onslaught. They were pretty broken. And the Portuguese on the right. And they skedaddled. They should all have been court-martialed and shot, I think. I don't know who they were. They came through as, oh yes, it was getting dark. March the 18th or something. And Captain was with us. We are all right. And we didn't have time to undo the machine guns from the lorries. We had to dash out to meet Jerry. He had a pincer movement on the troops. The planks closing pincer. That's the first time we had a taste of pincer movement by the Jerry's. So we had to leave the old machine guns, only the revolvers we had, the machine gunners. We had all the revolvers ready for action. And Captain Herzman leading us up the Armentieres Road. He was with his submachine guns. We were about 100 or something. He had half on the left of the main road. I was on the right with Fred Riley. So before we knew, when dark came, we tried to capture these English soldiers, stripped of everything, dashing through us like a marathon race, and the poor refugees coming as cool as hell towards us, with their little belongings, mattresses, little horses. Oh, they were as cool as anything. Anything they could carry. Oh, it was a terrible sight to see them. But they were cool. And these British soldiers dashing through. We said, stop, boy, stop. What's the matter with you? Come on. And they left all their equipment. They left their artillery. Nothing. They were dressed up without any equipment at all. I never saw anything. They had been demoralized. And I don't know, history no doubt will tell you about it. And we couldn't stop them, and we were marching up to meet old Jerry. Aunt Jerry on the flanks, the pincer movement. Their machine guns, bullets missing. Our head on the right, they're too high. But poor old my captain and those on the left were wiped out. So the order came for us to come back a bit, to straighten the line a bit. We are in this pincer movement. Oh, no, come on. No strictness, so come back slowly. Jerry found that we were there, new troops. I think these Irish division with us, good fighters, I think 26th or 39th, and we were the 49th. I don't know who else was there. So the bullets, Germans coming in, everyone just missing our heads on the right, but they captured, they knocked the ones on the left. So we have orders to come back, boys, to try and straighten the line. We didn't want to, we never lost an inch of ground to the Germans. So we didn't believe it. Let's go and face the devils. And Jerry must capture a good many of the infantry and some of mine as well. That put the wind up him a bit, slowed his advance. Gave us to come back slowly to try and straighten the line. We're in the pocket. So we got back and I found the boys on the left, some of them came back alive and said, "Oh, poor old captain, our captain had been shot by a machine bullet through the heart, I think he's dead." So, oh dear, dear boys, what can we do? So, we are not far behind. So, boys, it was daylight now. I want one volunteer, a little scores, that little fellow. I'll come, the other chaps. They were, they hadn't been much in the line. Not one volunteer. Let's have a shovel, Scholes. I'd prepared a little cross to put on him. So we phoned Captain Dead. And I said, "Now, Scholes, let's dig. We can't go very deep down. Ground pretty hard. We dug about 2 feet just to cover him and put a cross on him." And Jerry was watching it. Fair play to him. You could have one blow from the machine gun and knocked us both clean off. Fair play to him. They didn't want to give their positions away. They're in the broken woodlands of Armentieres coming down. They didn't want to, that's why I think they didn't kill us. And we buried Captain. And I didn't have time to look at his pockets or anything here. He's bothered anything because we had to be quick, or else we'd miss our men. They were going back all the time.
Was that a great blow to you? Yes. Was it a great blow to lose your captain?
What? Oh, dear, yes. We were lots of good pals. He had made a name in his paybook for recommendation for serving and other thing. And, oh, dear, I was got up. Now, we buried him, got back safely, found the lads, and Scholes and myself, the other fellows and volunteer, the smallest, the ones that were shouting most in the front were real windbags, some of them, and they were doing all the talking. I knew quite well what I used to size them up, but they were very good. Not many we found like that. So we got joined a lot, and the order came to strike and come back, boys. Oh no, let's go for them. Go in only revolvers, that's all. We couldn't get at our machine guns. They're not to stop Jerry getting them. And at the time, that's very funny. Dude, funny thing happened behind us. Well, Jerry's firing from behind us. We are surrounded, I thought. No. Do you know what came to our rescue? The French famous 75 field gun. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. I'd never heard them before. The most famous field gun in the army at the time. The French 75s. By jingo. We were cheering up then. I thought it was German firing behind us. Boom, 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 boom. Firing like a machine gun, almost. And they held, well, they killed a lot of Germans in the open, you see. Wonderful 75 machine gun, field gun. They could fire so quickly. Boom, 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 boom. Down we're in the command. And then the old Froggies, the French Froggies, Well, we were delighted with them. They saved the boat for us, and then we had to go back. They wouldn't allow us to stay, and we're coming back now towards Cassel on the hill above. We could have held him there, I thought. We are in the ridge of Cassel, a big town, and what was left there was a Spalding sports shop in the centre, and we machine gunners, some of us, were the last to go out of there. Oh, but before that, another old officer came to lead us in the attack. The silly fool. He took us into no man's land. And Jerry, well, he was firing machine guns at it. And as it happens, there was a ditch. The machine gun bullets. We were about 30 with this old officer. And we just got into the ditch. It's wet as well, crawling along. And Jerry thought we must have killed them all. That ditch, we were covered in mud. And when we were going out to examine we had my revolver on us, my hand, the old revolver, where the bullet comes out, was covered in mud. If I'd let the trigger go, I don't know what would have happened. I had to clean that and get that clear. And we got out. I don't know what became of that old silly fool. He nearly got us surrounded by Jerry's. But we put the wind up on Jerry, though. We put the wind up. I don't know what became of him. I was glad to see that fool go. He didn't know what he was doing. And we were all without an officer or a lieutenant or something. We were in charge of ourselves. And we were over to old Cassel, in ruins, so. Jerry, we were the last lot of machine gunners. The infantry had gone behind us. And we got out of there, and a haversack I had, safety razor in a lovely strong case in my haversack. When I went to look for it, a bullet hole or a piece of a gone right through, and that saved me from being knocked, I don't know, wounded. Everything seemed to save me. I was in the hands of, I was directed as if our Saviour was directing me all the time.
You took charge, did you, then? You took charge,
yes,
did you, Tom?
Yes, I was there with the lads. Come on, lads. And after Cassel, Jerry was advancing, you know, and they didn't give us the orders to stand our ground. Of course, they wanted to straighten the line. He had broken through a 5-mile front. And we got to within Hazelbrook. Damn, we're getting near the coast. We had advanced about 5 or something. Now then, boys, the order came. Not another foot. We stuck it there, chased old Jerry back. I don't know, I got the record of it in my full report, I think. We were there chasing him back, and we got him back, saved going to the coast. If he'd gone through the coast there, we'd have been jiggered. He'd have split the coastline, and they could come down from Newport, Ostend down, but we saved the boat. It was the 49th, I don't think the Welsh was with us there, and we saved the line being broken, and we straightened the line, but we lost quite a lot of fellows through it.
Was it a near thing, do you think, Tom?
I don't know what could have happened. That was 1918, wasn't it? It was his final fling. If he had broken our line there, it had split the whole front. We'd have been, the coastline would, I think, they would have come down like Hitler did in the Second War. We had given us a thought about it, but no, come on, boys, let's get him back. And we chased him back from hedge to hedge, field to field, I don't know. I'd forgotten. I may have it in my report there, how we got him back. That was March, end of March. We saw that. So we were then pushed. March. No rest, nothing at all. We were pushed down to the Arras front. Ready, I suppose, to make the final fling in 1918. Facing the Hindenburg line in the weaker space, the Tokenkirchen line. Ready for our final attack to end the war. We were there, ready in the trenches. And at last, in September, I think it was, we had the order to attack. Damn, we broke through the German lines, Tokenkirchen, chased him through Douai, mining village, French mining village, through Douai. And they were the Germans fighting a rear guard action. You didn't know what moment you were up against, a booby trap or a hidden bomb or blown up. We went through Douai, chased him onto Cambria. Half Cambria was on fire. And fellows, silly, some of them going into the houses. Well, as soon as they opened the door, the blinking, the bomb ready to blow the blinking place up. Some wanted to go and play a piano or something like that. Touch a piano, blinking thing would go on, and the fellows. I never went in any of them. We were busy chasing after him.